Hey, everybody. Happy Friday, I guess it is.
It is Friday.
Today. And thought it would be, this is episode 31, which is hard to believe, but thought it might be interesting to have a conversation and get a little bit of a different perspective from one of our art directors, Kyler, affectionately referred to as Mr. C around here.
Hello. Hello.
Jack of many trades.
Mm-hmm.
I hear he makes a mean pizza.
I do.
I haven't had one.
I got to make pizzas tonight.
Okay. What are we making?
Well, my mother-in-law is coming over with my five-year-old nephew.
Okay.
So they want a pepperoni pizza.
Sure.
But Angela, I like to make Angela one that some of the listeners would maybe opposed to, but
pineapple.
Yeah. So I go olive oil Ooh. And garlic base, pineapple, jalapeno.
Ooh.
And sometimes a little red onion.
See, I'm totally good with that.
Oh, dude, I love pineapple.
We may lose half of our audience.
I mean, I like, you know, traditional Neapolitan pizzas, but there's a place in the world for pineapple on pizza.
I think there is too.
Everyone who says they hate it hasn't had it.
But I agree with you. It's got to have a kick to it. Like
yeah.
You got to balance the sweet out with some sort of.
Right. If I'm doing it, because Angela's vegetarian, if I'm doing it by myself, I put bacon, pineapple, jalapeno.
Mm.
Then you get the whole, you get everything.
Yeah.
It's good.
I agree. Well, it sounds great. I hear he makes a mean pizza. He's yet to offer to make pizza for the office yet,
but
we're hoping. We're hoping someday. He also shreds a mean guitar. I've heard it. That's pretty cool. But he also is an extremely talented graphic designer / art director here at the agency. And I thought it might be interesting to talk about. And Don and I have talked about this before, but the idea of where to begin, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm always interested to learn. How different creatives approach projects when it's time to start, right? So let's say a project has come in and let's say, you know, we'll pick on logo design because we often do, but let's say there's a logo project that comes in and for whatever it is, X company and they need a logo. What is your process? Like when we say ready, set, go,
right?
Where do you start? You're staring at a blank screen.
I feel like the best place to start with a logo project for an existing company or one that has no look and feel at all?
Let's say they got nothing.
They have
Let's
nothing,
say totally right? blank slate.
Okay, then the best situation I would say to start with is to try to figure out what the company is, what they do, try to figure out whether that's a company that is, you know, maybe more on the tech side of things or more, you know, whether it's a B2B client or a consumer-facing client.
Okay.
And try to get a feel for, is this the kind of client that is going to need a super modern and sleek design or something like that, or something that needs a more traditional kind of serif-style design? Now, that doesn't mean that I'm not going to explore both for whatever
right.
it is.
Right.
But there's definitely some clients where, you know, there are certain things that right off the bat is not going to suit whatever it is that they
sure.
do.
Do you think about like when you're starting, do you think about how the logo is going to be used? Meaning
yeah.
like let's say it's a bowling alley. Let's say we're opening up Mr.
Right.
C's bowling
okay.
lane.
Uh-huh.
Do you think about like, oh, okay, well then there's probably going to be, it's probably going to be used
on physical
on
objects,
t-shirts and
yeah,
on
yeah.
bowling pins
right.
and on, you know, whatever.
Yeah. I think that that's very important. I mean, a lot of times the way I like to approach a logo is to try to think about a logo that can have one, maybe primary, iteration
mm-hmm.
with two or even three secondary iterations. So whether it's stacked or in a horizontal setting, or if there's a mark that can be a standalone mark, or if there's a word mark that can be standalone.
Right.
That way that generally there is a format for whatever use they have,
sure.
right? Regardless
sure.
of the company. You mentioned a bowling alley. See, that's a kind of client where right away I would think this doesn't have to be super buttoned up kind of ultra sleek or minimal looking design. That's something that can have a little bit more personality. You can have a little bit more fun with. So, you know, that would be one where I wouldn't take really anything off the board straight away.
Right.
And I would play with a lot of different stuff. you know, if it's a law firm or something, it immediately kind of puts you more into a convention. You kind of know the general realm of what this is going to look like, and you play within that sandbox. And then in other projects, the sandbox is much more wide open.
Right.
And then in other projects, it's a similar size sandbox, just a different one.
Sure. Know? So when it comes, okay. So then when it comes to, actually starting to work. Yeah. Starting to work. Do you sketch things out first?
I like to start with typography. So I like to see, what the name of their company is going to look like in lots of different typefaces, and then lots of different weights of typefaces, or even, you know, sometimes I like to see is, what is this going to look like in sentence case, or in just lowercase, or in all caps, or in some kind of combination of the two, and start to kind of create iteration that way. And sometimes something will jump out at you. Is kind of the way I like to do logo stuff is that I just kind of start playing with type. And then I start thinking about a glyph, right? Or some kind of mark apart from the type. And then I try to figure out, is this something that could be integrated with the type? Or is this something that should be, you know, kind of floating above the type, you know, underneath it, that kind of thing. And start to kind of format different ideas that way. And I try to usually give a client a range where one option might be a word mark with just a small little element to it that maybe is within the type. And then one might be more of an actual like glyph mark with the type being almost a secondary part of the logo, and kind of arrange within all of those kind of styles of logo. There's word marks, letter marks, you know, abstract marks, glyphs.
But you start with type.
But I like to start with type because at the end of the day, it's got to have, you know, type is going to be, it's got to say the name, right?
Right.
Not every company can get to the point of Nike or some of these or Apple, where they never even show the word Apple, you know. I think they did initially. The original Paul Rand design did say Apple.
Well, sure.
You know.
It had to at some point.
It did, yeah. But that was back when it was the rainbow colored Apple.
Yeah.
And obviously over the years, they just went more and more minimal until it's just a silhouette of an apple.
So you then go through, you'll come up with a range, right? Which we've talked about before. We always like to present a nice range of you know, there's certain things, you mentioned a law firm.
Right.
There's certain things that you kind of have to explore just to kind of get it out of your system.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, I hate to even mention it, but there's a gavel and there's the scales of justice and there's all the things that evoke, you know, that sort of legal imagery that you kind of almost... It's the same thing with writing. There are certain ideas that are so super obvious that you just have to get out of your head almost to get that out of your head and then start doing the...
Right. And every now and again, when you're doing that, you'll find a smart way of integrating something obvious. You know, we did some work for a battery company.
Right.
I know there was like a week where all the designers in-house were just playing with, you know, lightning bolts and power symbols.
Right.
In every different way possible. And every now and again, I think one or two of us would come up with something that did look pretty sleek and it wasn't an obvious use of an obvious, symbol. Right.
Yeah.
So I think that there's, the more that you play around with stuff, sometimes you stumble upon things, which is kind of a nice part of the process with logo making.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, a lot of people say everything's been done. There are no new ideas. I couldn't disagree more.
Yeah. There's always new ideas.
There's always new ideas.
Cause there's always someone who makes a new idea and you're like, you know, damn it, I wish I had thought of that.
There's always new ideas, so I don't subscribe to that theory. And I think you're right. I think that there's always a new take on an old idea, which in and of itself is a new idea.
Right.
Ooh, that was super meta, wasn't it?
That was.
But yeah, I mean, and so I think you're right. I think sometimes you in your head you might be thinking about, hey, let me just get this idea out of my head. Da, da, da.
Right.
But then it ends up being kind of a new take on it.
Right.
And it may end up being perfectly appropriate for at the end of the day. What's the most difficult part for you about the process of creating a mark?
I would say that sometimes it's a later part of the mark where we've shown them ideas, they've picked direction, and now you need to refine it. I wouldn't say that that's difficult. It's just, it's hard for me sometimes to stop and say, okay, perfect, you know, because there's that point is always hard to kind of figure out, because I'll sit there and nitpick, you know, one curve endlessly, you know, and say, well, should this be a little bit bigger? Should that, you know, and probably to someone on the outside looking in, they would see very little difference between all the different iterations of the refined version. But
we were talking about that just yesterday on the project that we're working on right now and the pixelation and you were not caught, but you were like, oh, this isn't, it's not.
Yeah. I was zooming in and the squares.
And I was like, well, no, the design allows for that. And no, I think we say around here a lot, no one's going to notice that but us.
Right.
Like, no, at the end of the day, nobody's going to. But that's interesting, though, because it's so where to begin is a good question, but where to end is another good question. Yeah. Because if I'm doing a math problem, 2 + 2 = 4.
Right.
We're done here.
Right. I mean, there's nothing, right? Unless you're reinventing.
So, yeah. How do you know when you're done?
I think that you get to a point where you kind of, it's like a Goldilocks zone. You have 3 or 4 or 5 different iterations of the exact same thing that probably to the outsider would think that they look identical.
Right.
And you would find the right balanced one, you know, something that finds a happy medium that works. You know, sometimes you'll hear designers talk about something feeling heavy or feeling off balance, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You're always trying to find that, you know, happy medium where it's in balance with the type. It all just is kind of working, even if you're just looking at the type, is how far is the type tracked out, or how tight is the type? Or, you know, Don and I will sit there and nitpick kerning between two letters endlessly. We have slightly different takes on how we like things kerned.
Sure.
I know Don likes to go more metrically between, you know, like spaces between letters, and I try to look at it more as like liquid between letters, as like a volumetric thing.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, and I think in any industry that's like ours, where because creative is so subjective, you have to trust your gut.
Yeah.
And there's a certain point where, and whether it's writing or designing or, you know, whatever, you could noodle it to death.
Yeah.
But there comes a point where you just kind of trust your gut and you go, okay, I feel like we're done here.
And a lot of the best logos, I mean, the probably most iconic logo, Coca-Cola, while they have switched to like that lowercase thing that they did, I think it was probably 70s or 80s, and then they went back to the script, there is slight differences between that over the years.
Like
they've gone in and refined little things here and there. Most people probably wouldn't notice that's happened, but a lot of big companies with iconic logos, the logo, like the Nike swoosh, has changed over the years, just ever so slightly.
Right.
You know, it was softer at one point. It got stretched out a little bit more. So you can always refine. If you make a great logo that's timeless, and then that company is big, then, you know, eventually you'll probably tweak it a little bit. But it's hard to ever say when something's totally done. But usually you stand back, you print it out small, you print it big, and you say, okay, I'm happy with this. And at some point you have to let go of it, right?
Right, you do. And so not unlike that logo design or headlines or any of the creative work we do, podcasts too, we could just go on and on.
Yeah, you can just talk.
When to stop.
Right.
So that said, enjoyed the conversation, appreciate the perspective. I always like to hear how creatives approach projects. So thanks for tuning in, everybody. That's going to bring us to a close today. You can find us on the interwebs at mocktheagency.com, of course, and on all the socials at mocktheagency. And we always love to hear feedback, positive feedback. Yeah. We don't like to hear negative feedback.
Five stars only.
Shoot us ideas, things you want to hear. Reach out if you want to be a guest on the podcast, all those things. And have a wonderful weekend, everybody.
Yeah, thanks,
talk to
everybody.
You next time.